Messiah conference coming up pretty soon. We had that, saw the video, and I think Owen said we have maybe up to 40 people going from Kol to D this year. It's awesome. If you haven't gone to the Messiah conference, and it's still time to, still chance to go, plenty time to register and to, and if you can only go for a certain part of the time, that's fine. You don't have to go the whole week. You'll want to be there the whole week once you're up there, but just leave it. So, but that's it's really exciting. We will be there, and so if you're there, we look forward to a chance to spend time together, and the cafeteria, the meals, but they're phenomenal classes. I was at a conference this week, Kashi Venu, my first time, which was a forum actually, which was really, really a wonderful time to connect with some other Messianic rabbis that I just knew to say hello to and hadn't had time to really get to know them. Did you like that sound when I did it? Mime, whatever, something. All right, so, but I hope you can go, pray about it. At least commit it to prayer. It's a great opportunity to be with, there'll be over 30 Israelis coming, Israeli Messianic Jews from Israel, with Ari and Shira Sorkoram, and a chance to get to know them, of course, the worship will be unbelievable, and everything, classes. Okay, and then we mentioned Shavuot also, that we have that coming up in a few weeks. That's the Feast of Weeks. That's the in celebration of the giving of the Torah. Traditionally in Judaism, it's the celebration of the barley and wheat harvest. It's one of the Moedim, and so we're going to have some special things during that time. But June 11th is when we'll celebrate it. Also, remember June 12th, we'll be reading, we'll announce where sometime that Sunday afternoon. A passage from the Word of God. It's the whole Bible is going to be covered that day, God willing. It's Don Finto's vision, and we will certainly want to support that. And so we'll do our part, supposedly, hopefully 75 different churches, congregations, small groups, meeting to publicly read the Word of God. That's God put in his heart for that for Shavuot, which is really actually that day. And then I'm going to announce June 4th, I'm throwing this out there, it's a couple weeks from today, a picnic at Edwin Warner Park. I don't know if we'll get a pavilion or not, we'll see if one is available. If not, maybe we just show up there and find our way around and have a good time. So June 4th, if you're free, that's a Shabbat afterwards. And if there's a need for a mikveh, we can do that. If someone wants to be immersed, potentially we could do that as well. But we really need more times. We're desperate for us to have more times. You know, Zeke has an incredible meeting. They had a great meeting last night at the Bennett's, and they have a chance to spend time together, and we don't congregationally. We do after for onegs, but we need more of those opportunities. So we hope to have a retreat in the future, and let Karen know if you'd like to help with that, planning a retreat, so we could really have that set and for hopefully what did we say, what day we're hoping to, that Labor Day weekend, for Labor Day weekend we're hoping to, if we can find a venue for it, weekend retreat. So all right, so let's hear a little of that next Miranda, that next song on my thing. I don't know if we'll hear the whole thing, but it does tie in with what I want to talk about. You may know this song.
Your long face pulling down, don't hide away like an ocean that you can't see, but you can smell and the sound of waves crash down. I am no Superman, I have no reason. Where I wanna be.
questions under the stars. What if along the way you are growing weary? You can rest with me until a brighter day.
Praise the Lord. It's a beautiful song, isn't it?
yeah, I'm going to talk about that, but before, you'll see how it relates, but we're going to be in Leviticus 23, so if you turn Leviticus 23, but we're going to see a little video from the movie that every Jew knows and everyone who loves Jewish people knows. So let's see a little video, little song from there.
But why won't you tell me? Where is now this Joseph of yours?
It is far, Papa. Terribly far. He is in a settlement in Siberia.
Siberia? And he asks you to leave your father and mother and join him in that frozen wasteland and marry him there?
No, Papa. He did not ask me to go. I want to go. I don't want him to be alone. I want to help him in his work.
What?
Papa, how can I hope to make you understand why I do what I do, why I must travel to a distant land, far from the home I love. Once I was happily content to be as I was, where I was, close to the people who are close to me, here in the home I love. Who could see that a man would come who would change the shape of my dreams? Helpless now I stand with him, watching older dreams grow dim. Oh, what a melancholy choice this is. Wanting home, wanting him, closing my heart to every hope but his, leaving the home I love. There where my heart has settled long ago, I must go, I must go. Who could imagine I'd be wandering so far from the home I love? Yet there with my love, I'm home.
Okay, is anyone crying or? So we all have to go out and see Fiddler on the Roof, right? Or, well, can you imagine Yeshua saying, "I must go"? I mean, he actually did tell his disciples he had to go. So I want to talk about learning to let go a little bit from the parasha today, Leviticus 23. verses 9, were we ready? Verses 10 and 11 says, "Speak to the children of Israel and tell them, when you have come into the land, notice this, which I give you, and reap its harvest, then you are to bring the omer." The omer was the basically the Hebrew word omer is collect, comes from collected. It was the collected sheaf of grain. And so he said, bring the omer of the first fruits. Notice that, first fruits of your harvest. Let's say first fruits. First fruits of your harvest to the Kohen, to the priest. And he is to wave the omer before Adonai to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Shabbat, the Kohen is to wave it. So he's to wave the omer, this collected sheaf of grain. It's the first fruits, and the word harvest is kitsira. You want to try that one? Kitsira? Yeah, it's right in the middle there. Yeah, kitsira is the harvest, and it really means to shorten. It's the idea of you're cutting the wheat, so you're shortening it, so that's where it comes from. And then the first fruits is the word reshit. Let's try reshit. Beautiful, reshit. Maybe if you know what's the first verse of the Bible? First verse of the Torah? Bereshit, right? In the beginning, God, right? Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So in the beginning, so you get the idea. So first fruits, this idea is really the beginning. Right from the start, the beginning, the first. The presentation of the omer, the first sheaf of the new barley harvest, with its accompanying offerings, was given to the Kohen, who would represent the Lord, who represented the Lord to the people. Last week, there's a family here last week that were handing out the jars of strawberry jam. Are they here today? There, yeah, thank you. That was so beautiful. Sorry, say your names. Rick and Melissa. That was so kind. I thought that was so, and that was so beautiful. What a beautiful gesture. They had the first fruits of your strawberry harvest, I guess, right? And what's that? Your pickings, yeah? And your pickings, right, sorry. And they were giving jars, you know, to a lot of different folks around there. I thought it was such a great thing. And by the way, it was delicious. I ate some this week. With my natural peanut butter, eat peanut butter almost every day, natural peanut butter. But that was just that's the whole idea. And let's what is this talking about here? Why do this? Well, in Judaism now, the counting of the Omer is going on from the second night of Passover. Observant Jews throughout the world are doing this from the second night of Passover to the day before Shavuot, before the giving of the Torah as it's celebrated in Judaism. That holiday, and so there's a counting of the Omer that goes on, and it would be this year, from what I understand, April 24th through June 11th, and observant Jews say a blessing every night before they, that ceremony before every night, actually, until Shavuot. And so it's like analogy, it's like a child looking forward to their vacation, family vacation. They counting the days, you know. That's the idea in Judaism. And there are conflicting views on the calculations in Jewish tradition among Boethusian, Qumran, Samaritan, and Karaite communities. So as far as the datings, you know, I would never get into an argument over these things, but there are different traditions and views on it. But the whole idea is, picture what they're doing. They're bringing that harvest to the Lord and giving it the first fruits. And the idea is, think of it, learning to let go. Learning to let go. From the very outset, from the reshit, the beginning, God is teaching this principle, that what I have, what I gain, and what I have is not mine to possess. It's not mine. And so that's the idea of this word, even the harvest, to collect, the kitzira, to collect and bring it to God. We don't make a big deal about offerings here, but we believe in, you know, we thank those who support the congregation, who allow us to be doing what we're doing and to grow, and we want to continue to grow and do more. And the idea is the first fruits here, collecting and bringing it to God. So Job says, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return there. The Lord gave, Adonai, Har Hashem gave, and Hashem has taken away. Blessed be the name of Hashem. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So what do we let go of? What do we have to let go of? Well, think of three things that I would say. Possessions, positions, and persons. Possessions. God can take away any of these at any time. He can take away our possessions, he can take away our positions, and he can take away people. Our house, if you have one, our living space, our money, how many times people invest or do something with money and then all of a sudden something happens and it's gone or stolen or they lost it. A job, our job can be taken. You know, God can allow our job if he so chooses. You know, there are people that live in different places. I saw a documentary once, and I forget where it was, and maybe Pacific Island somewhere, and every year, like a typhoon could be, you know, they could just count on it coming and wiping out everything they had, and they'd have to build all over again. Every year, it was like just a given. I can't imagine living that way, but they're used to it. This week, a young man from our area, I did not know him well, but a young man in his prime, in his 20s, I think he's in his 20s, evidently died, was taken home to be with the Lord in an accident. And I think he wasn't living here. He was living in, I think, California right now. But many knew him. And kind of shocking, you know, and I know one person wrote in on their Facebook, they're saying, I don't understand why things happen sometimes, you know. But, you know, the pain is there. The pain is there, and it's real. Man who loved God, he was greatly used. I think he, you know, did mission work. And Jacob 4:14, or James 4:14, Jacob 4:14 says, "What is your life? For you are a vapor that appears for a little time, a little while, and then vanishes away." What is your life? It's like a vapor, appears for a little while, a little time, then vanishes away. Whew. Leviticus 23, verse 22 then, we see this idea again and expressed in another way. Look at this verse 22. "Now when you reap the harvest of your land, you are not to reap the furthest corners." In the Hebrew, I would translate it, you're not to complete the corners of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Rather, you're to leave them for the poor and for a word we talked about last week, the ger, the outsider, the refugee, the stranger. I am the Lord your God. God says, it really is mine. It belongs to me. I'm letting you share in it, but it's mine. Leave it. So our normal motive, you know, our normal tendency is to selfishly, got to get it all. Got to gather, you know, hey, don't leave anything on your plate when you eat, right? We learned that growing up, I hope, growing up. You know, don't leave something on your plate. You know, eat. But, you know, here God says, don't gather everything. Leave the corners for someone else who needs it. And they'll come, and they are given freedom, privilege to do it. Learn to be giving, not greedy, God is saying. You don't need every piece. You don't need every bit. Learn to be giving, not greedy. 1 Timothy 6:7, "For we brought nothing into this world, so we cannot take anything out of it." Hebrews 13:5, "Keep your lifestyle free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For God himself has said, I will what? Never leave you nor forsake you. Henceforth, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Who will I fear? I will not. Who can I fear? Should I fear? The Lord is my helper." He says, be content with God. We have God. If we lost everything else, I know that can be hyper-spiritual. I mean, obviously, you know, it says in another place, Philippians 4, I think having food and clothing, let us therewith be content. Obviously, we have needs and we're thankful. But you know what? If we do lose things, we have God. God says, you have me, and I am your provision. I will be everything you need me to be, and I'll provide what you need me to provide if you look to me, if you're trusting me and following me. So Psalm 49, verses 17 and 18, do not be afraid when a man gets rich, when his house's splendor increases. For when he dies, he takes nothing away. His splendor will not follow him down. Ooh, follow him down. You know, boy, I've seen people come into affluence, and then forget God, just like our people did. We did when we came into the land of Israel, the milk and honey. God said, be warned in Deuteronomy twice, that be careful when you get these vineyards, you didn't inherit these vineyards, and you didn't build a plant and houses you didn't build, and you have everything, and you forget me, you turn away from me. And that, we did it. That's what happened. And God says, so I have to discipline you. I have to bring things to bring you back to me. But you can't take it with you, he says. So I've seen that. People turn from God and forget God, and then tragedy comes. And the sad thing is, a lot of times people don't realize then why the tragedies come. And it doesn't mean that every tragedy is because of that. But people don't realize sometimes when God is trying to get their attention, and they just continue on. Luke 12:20-21, but God said to him, you fool, tonight your soul is being demanded back from you. Remember the man that continues to store up greater riches? And he says, tonight your soul is being demanded back from you, and what you have prepared, whose will that be? So it is with the one who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich in God, rich toward God. So God is teaching us through these principles, teaching the Jewish people and all of us who follow him to be giving, not greedy, to learn to let go. Leviticus 11:23, three times he says, relating to the Omer, back to the Omer, he says, wave it. The Kohen would wave it. The priest would wave it. And basically saying it's all God's. Wave it before the Lord. Wave it. It's all God's. And the word in the Hebrew nuf. See if you can find that back a little bit, Miranda. Thanks. But word. Let's say nuf. There it is, right up top. Nuf. Nuf. The word in Hebrew, just for your information, translated wave, means to move horizontally. To swing, to wave, to shake. It's an idea. So I don't know. You know, there's different. I know how Judaism does today. You know, you wait, do like the lulav in Sukkot. You know, you do it in six directions. You know, and I don't. They were probably, you know, who knows? They were saying, this belongs to God. This is the Lord's. This is not mine. I give it to God. And we give everything up to the Lord. It was customarily accompanied, by the way, by music and a parade. And so you're just saying, I'm displaying, I'm acknowledging that this, everything, that what I'm giving, it really belongs to the Lord, and I give it back to him. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10, honor Adonai with your wealth. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first, there's that word again, the first, reshit, of your entire harvest. Then your barns, what will happen? Then your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will overflow with new wine. If we just put God first, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you, Yeshua said in Matthew 6. So we see, again, with Job, when Job lost things, he said he recognized the Lord and said he tore his robe in Job 1:20, and he shaved his head and he fell to the ground when all the catastrophe came, and he worshipped, and he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I'll return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Through this, Job did not sin nor cast reproach on God. So far, so good. Later on, he had some problems, and I don't blame him, but later on, he had some issue, and he had some friends that had all sorts of great advice. The best thing the friends did was when they shut their mouths for the first, I think, 7 days, and they didn't say anything. That was the best thing they could do. Just sit with them and identify, and don't try to say anything. We don't know what you don't necessarily have to say anything. But he did get upset later. And but God, you know, God was patient with him, and God just, you know, worked with him. But here is that beautiful acknowledgement: the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. The Lord gave it, the Lord can take it away. And turn with me to Acts 1, and look because we're in this still period of 40 days. Think of after Passover, there are 40 days of visiting after his resurrection, between his resurrection, Yeshua's resurrection, and his ascension. That's the time on the calendar we're really in right now. And after these 40 days, imagine those amazing times of him visiting with his disciples, and you know, some calculate seven visits, some tens. I've counted 14. I don't know. Some of them may be the same visits. How many? But there were a lot of these post-resurrection visits and times he spent with his Talmidim and with his followers, and then he's visiting with them for 40 days after the resurrection, and then he's gone. And so now what do? Because he ascends, he's gone. Now there's prayer. Did they miss him? I'm sure they did. But once the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, came on Shavuot, and they were filled, they moved on. And they became so busy with their new assignment that they weren't preoccupied with their loss. Understand that, please. So look at Acts 1, verses 9 through 11. After saying all this, while they were watching, he says, it's not your times, not your place to know the times or the seasons which the Father has placed in his own control. I commented on that a few weeks ago. Someone said, if he said you can't know, then why do people spend so many time writing books on calculating these things? It's ridiculous. But he said, but you will receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh has come on you, and you will be my witnesses. Here's the assignment that's going to come in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, as far as you can go. Just keep going. Give your life to it. After saying this, verse 9, he says, while they were watching, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. While they were, some would see it's the Shekhinah, the cloud that appears several times, you know, many times in Scripture, the guided our people in the wilderness, in the desert, after leaving Egypt. This Shekhinah, the cloud of God's glory, received him out of their sight. And while they were staring into heaven, as he went up, suddenly two men stood with them in white clothing. We believe they were angels. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you keep standing here staring into heaven? This Yeshua who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven." So he's taken, from you. And actually, if you go in verse 22, when Peter is speaking, he says, beginning with his immersion, he's talking by John, until the day he was taken up from us. Looking for someone to fill the spot that was left by Judas Iscariot. And so Yeshua said in John 14:28, he'd said earlier, it's recorded, John 14:28, I'm going away. And I count seven times where he basically says, I'm going. John 14:2, John 14:12, John 16:5 and 7, and 17. Now listen, he says, I'm going. Here's a principle. We can never replace what God has taken with the same. But we must move in God's time, we must move into the next phase of his provision. Do you see that? Let me repeat it. We can never replace what God has taken with the exact same. But we must move in God's time into the next new phase, to the next phase of his provision. And of course, for the disciples, it would be the Ruach HaKodesh, the coming of the Spirit of God in Acts chapter 2. They'd be filled with the Spirit. He'd come and parallels the Sinai covenant, many see, the coming, the demonstration, but the mighty rushing wind. And so we must move on. He would be not replaced, but he says in John 14:16 and John 14:26 and 16:7, it's quoted three times, he says, I'm going to send another helper. And that's the way the Tree of Life is translating it, TLV is helper. The Greek word is, have it up there for you, parakletos. You want to try that? Parakletos. Parakletos. And I'm going to translate it as summoned to my side. Summoned to my side. Para is side, and kletos is called or summoned. And so here's this God's super supply, if you will. A super supply. It's often translated comforter, counselor, called to the alongside to your help, helper translated. But he's God's super supply. In other words, so Yeshua left in death, but he returned. Then he left in ascension 40 days later and will return. Yeshua said, I will return. Look, John 16:7, he says, I'm coming, I'm going to return. John 16:7, he says, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Parakletos will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And remember, he says at another place, you're going to do greater things because of his coming than I've done even, greater things. Because there's more of it, much more we can do, many more. But until then, so he left in death, he returned, he left in ascension, and he will return. But until then, we have a temporary, phenomenal provision right now and a phenomenal commission. So a provision and a commission, an equipping and an assignment. We have an assignment. They got busy about their assignment and were able to move on. And so we do have to move on in our lives when we lose things. And it's not easy, and I'm not saying it's quick, especially people, if we lose people, but we can't stay there. We have to move on to God's provision, his next assignment, his next provision. And again, I emphasize, in his timing, his way. We never should tell someone how quick it has to be. But God knows we have to move on. It's not, and we will face seasons of joy, and we will face seasons of sorrow. Every one of us in this room. Every one of us here will face highs and will face lows. We'll experience gains, and we'll experience losses. We'll encounter triumphs, and we'll celebrate triumphs, but we'll also have experienced tragedies at times as we follow the Lord. So let's review it. Yeshua's physical presence among them, he's there. And I'm going to give one word summaries for each of these. Ready? His physical presence among his people when he's with there for those maybe 3 years of ministry, 3 years of action. That's my fun. Then number two, Yeshua's 7 points. Yeshua's death and departure. Bad. Number three, his resurrection and his post-resurrection visits with them. Thrilling. Number four, his ascension and departure again. He's gone again. Bewildering. Number five, the super supplies coming. The Holy Spirit comes. Surprising. You know, my dad used to do this with us, with his grandkids when we were, I did the faces. I'll be doing it when we visit our new grandchild sometimes. Anyway, he'd do the faces. He'd do this, he'd go, happy, sad. And the kids, the babies really love this. Anyway, he'd do all these different expressions, surprise, you never know, surprise. Number six, there and our exciting, an extraordinarily challenging mission. Their assignment. And the word is challenging. Challenging. It wasn't going to be easy. It was a challenge. Outside of their comfort zone. Go into all the world. What? Leave your comfort? Leave Jerusalem? Leave what? That's the holy city. Why am I going to leave the comfort of our peers, be willing to go and risk our lives? Challenging. And then his return, number 7, his return one day. Word summary, rewarding. Rewarding. That's what it should be. It says he comes with his reward, and his reward will be with him. If we're following him, it will be rewarding. I guess if we're not, I don't know. That's not going to be rewarding. But he's coming to reward those that are following him. He says it. So we still miss him. We still miss him. But we have a job to do. And there's a balance between reflection, like we reflect in Messiah's Yizkor when we Zikaron HaMashiach, to celebrate the Messiah's remembrance, whether some call it the Lord's Supper, communion, the Eucharist, in different traditions of Christian traditions, we call it Messiah's Yizkor or Zikaron HaMashiach. And that's reflection. And there's a balance between that and our mission going forward. Between being busy and spreading the good news, the gospel, bringing people to know him, and stopping to remember and appreciate his sacrifice, that we do miss him, and remind ourselves that we'll see him again very soon. You know, it's what the Messiah's Yizkor is actually both retrospective and prospective. It's looking back, remembering his sacrifice, but it's looking forward. He said, until I celebrate with you again. And we will see him again soon. And so I'm going to close, actually ending really on time today, with a little video that we'll see him again soon. Something I really like this.
Now we are free. I will see you again. But not yet. Not yet.
Okay, that's kind of short. Who knows what that movie's from? Gladiator. Yeah, Gladiator. Great movie. One of my favorites. Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you that we will see you again, but not yet, just as